Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, November 23rd, 2020. It's Thanksgiving week.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mark.
Happy Thanksgiving, Marianne. Happy Thanksgiving, Bob.
Same to you both. Yeah. I can't wait.
And it's also a special day. It's my son's birthday and my brother's birthday.
Oh, my. Happy birthday, Stu.
Wow. Happy birthday, Stu. Happy birthday, David. And so it's a great day. In fact, it was so neat when I proposed to Holly a little over 8 years ago. It was on this day,
aww,
and it was David's birthday and Stu's birthday. So another great
memory. It was a little
memory.
Family affair,
wow,
there.
Yeah, so we had everyone involved.
Wow.
Well, anyways, a lot to say. In fact, with our special guest, I've already asked, can you be available for tomorrow, Testimony Tuesday? Because Bob came equipped with some stories. He's already relayed a few. He said, do you think I could share this? And I said, oh, Bob, that fits with our scripture memory verse for today. And so it's with great delight, if you've been aware of this radio ministry for the last 10 or 20 years, you've heard the name Bob Dickey referred,
oh, yeah,
to.
We can get cut short here.
Yeah, we could spend a lot of time. Maybe we'll save some of that for Testimony Tuesday tomorrow. But today's verse, it's Romans 1:16, and it just so happens to be a favorite verse of Bob's. In fact, he was saying off air, of the Bible, Romans is so crucial, unique, special. It's a phenomenal book. It's a teaching that God would have us all know about. But if you divided Romans up and tried to find one of the key verses, well, anyways, I won't steal your thunder, as
no,
they say, but
okay,
Romans 1:16, we're going to be looking at today. It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So on this Memorization Monday, we're going to be looking at and considering and talking about Romans 1:16. And Marianne, in just a moment or two, will be reading from the book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart, by Robert J. Morgan. But I want to refer back to last Wednesday's program.
Oh,
we had a,
okay,
discussion a little bit about Ebenezer.
Oh, you're going back to that.
And so I wanted to just bring a little more clarity or information because it fits with Bob Dickey today. Actually, if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, now 1 Samuel's in the Old Testament. He's a prophet of the Lord, and there's two books named after him and was used uniquely of God in a variety of ways. But I won't set all the context and everything because I know we want to get to our verse. But 1 Samuel 7:12 says, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shem. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. And then next to Ebenezer, there's a little A, which means there's a little notation at the bottom of the page. And so I go to the bottom of the page, and it says, Ebenezer means stone of help.
Yeah.
And we kind of were talking about it's a memory stone or a monument, or it's a point in history or in time when you say, you know, like he's saying, thus far the Lord has provided. So you put your anchor down or you put your stone down. And many times throughout the Old Testament, they gathered stones and, mm-hmm, maybe put them next to the river.
Monument.
Yeah, a monument of remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what Ebenezer meant. But I liked it in terms of Bob because Samuel was saying,
I've been waiting for this part.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So the big buildup. Thus far, the Lord has helped us, or the Lord has provided. And Bob, I don't want to get too emotionally involved in thinking through your life and the impact you've had on the radio ministry. I've shared many, many times how when we prayed up the Prime Lifetimes paper, Bob was that fleece that, like Gideon laid out. I very seldom, I can only think of maybe one time that I've ever put out a fleece and said, Lord, I need confirmation on this Prime Lifetimes decision and whether to move forward. You know, I'm juggling a lot of things with the radio ministry, but if you could confirm Marianne Simpkins to be a part of it and Bob Dickey, I will know it's of you, because Bob Dickey had always been on my short list. You know, how many years? 15, maybe 20 years, I said,
Mark.
Bob, if you ever retire,
years,
you're on my dream team. Yeah. And So anyways, many things I could say about Bob, trips to Israel, promise keepers, singing men, a variety of ways he served and been beloved by me, a dear, dear friend. Well, as some of you know, he's had some health situations. I mean, he's gone through chemo, he's gone through transfusions, he's gone through radiations, and then new experimental chemo and so forth. And recently, I heard Bob mention like 4 to 5 weeks, and I thought, wow, 4 to 5 weeks, that's all we have left. What I misunderstood was that you said when it does take over, it'll be about a 4 or 5 week process.
Things are going to be much good, and then all of a sudden it's just going to go down.
But I will say, doctors have said you're well over a year on this earth, more than anyone thought possible. And so
thanks to the prayers. Thanks to, the science, what they've done now, the new tech. I really marvel at what since we're talking about this. You know, God created all this in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time we got to do this was the very first verse.
Yeah, Bob, when we started.
Remember that? Genesis 1:1.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I looked at that, and I thought, you know, God put this all in place for such a time as this, that his grace was enough to help me through this cancer.
Yeah.
Okay, to this point. Because if just a few years ago, we didn't have that, and people didn't have the opportunities I'm getting. But this, it's wonderful because it's helped me focus much better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? I was always into a lot of different things, okay, but this has helped me focus so much better.
Yeah. Well, we thank God because, you know, you've served these many years, and really your diagnosis began about 5 years ago, and some of the elevations, and they really didn't think you shouldn't be around. But by the grace of God, answered prayer. And, thank you, God, for the medicines and the treatments.
Prayer is number one.
Yeah,
God's grace is number one. Prayer is number two.
But I remember when Tom Richardson was in last week, and we got to cross paths just briefly. And after you had left and Tom and I talked, he said, man, is that guy fired up. And I said, he is another model to me of finishing well. And I don't know what well means.
I pray that works.
If it's 6 weeks, if it's 6 months, I don't know, maybe the Lord miraculously.
Years.
I mean, that's what personally I would hope and desire. I'm sure Gloria and all the friends that love Bob.
To die is gain.
Right. Yeah.
Paul
to live is Christ.
To live is Christ. To die is gain.
Well, you have such a great attitude. I tell you.
Yeah, you have, Bob. I want to say this.
No wonder you're going on and on. You just got this great attitude.
You know how all these people, they say these wonderful things when the person has passed away. During the visitation or, the service. I want to be saying things now.
I would prefer to hear them from Christ and the glory, okay?
Yeah, well, you're going to get your reward, and I'm not taking away any of that reward.
Okay, all right, but, please don't.
You know, thank you, God, for Bob and how you're treating life. And I tie that into this verse because you're more passionate about this verse than ever, and God has revealed different things about this verse, and you've loved this verse, and you have some stories to share. So for the next 15 or 20 minutes, I really just want to hand this over to you God has put some things in the middle of the night on your heart over this verse, and you're excited to share it. And so why does Romans 1:16 resonate so strongly in your mind and heart?
Well, you know, I've been a Christian since I was 13. And now I'm 69.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I thought I understood what salvation was all about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I didn't. And so about a little over 15 years ago, our Sunday school class, I had the privilege of leading our Sunday school class and a bunch of adults in studying the book of Romans. It took us 2.5 years.
Mm.
I got to, but I understand there's somebody, it took them over 5 years. I got to this Romans 1:16, and when I started focusing on salvation, I started doing some little more research about salvation. And one of the things that I did not realize, I knew I was saved. I knew that I was going to heaven. I knew that Jesus Christ died for me, that he rose again from the dead. I knew it all of that. But what I didn't realize was now I felt like it's up to me now to finish well. And it's important to finish well. But guess what? I still live in this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And this flesh my flesh is a huge struggle.
Right.
Okay, but what I didn't realize was that salvation it's a process that God is involved with all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't see it that way, and I try to do it myself, I miss out on a lot of the blessings. In fact, I will not finish well. It was like a huge burden was taken off my shoulders. You know, Pilgrim's Progress is a book that I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
And Pilgrim had his burden. He didn't lay things down like he's supposed to have. Mm-hmm. I hadn't laid things down. I didn't give them over to God. When he got to 116, I realized I need to give them over to God. Mm-hmm. And what a change it made in my life.
Wow.
A huge change. Mm-hmm. And the things I was focused on before, I no longer focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's not about me. It's about him. Mm-hmm. And that's where this is such an exciting verse. So, John Piper, you know, and I just was shocked. And Mary Ann and Marcus, so what's such a privilege and blessing to be here today with you. But it was just such a shock that you said this verse, because what's happening in my life is the Lord is giving me things that I never dreamed of, mm-hmm. and allowing me to do things that I never thought I'd ever think of doing. Yeah. You know,
and all those opportunities, like the doctors and the medical staff and friends and.
Sharing the gospel is amazing.
And it's kind of like a gift when you evaluate how much time you have left, what priorities will become more important or what surfaces to the top, what really matters. And many of us, you know, especially young people, you think you have all the time in the world. And
well, you know, David Jeremiah said, I think it was just a few, I listened to him every morning.
He's agreed to listen to. He's an awesome teacher.
Yeah.
Awesome teacher.
He is. And just a few mornings ago, or I'm sure evening too, but I listen in the morning, he said, you know, it's trite and we say this phrase, but we don't really think about it. But every one of us should always be thinking, if this was, and it's not a negative thought, it's just, if this was the really last day I was going to be on earth, what would I be about doing? What would I be doing? Mm-hmm. Is there something I've left undone? Is there something I really wish I'd done? And I just took that to heart. I thought, I know it can sound kind of negative, but that's kind of true. We need to think that.
Yeah.
not that it is, but what if it really was?
Mary Ann, I had a couple of guys tell me, he said, Bob, you're lucky. Once they found out I had cancer, it's terminal. And he said, you're lucky. And I said, I think I know why you're saying that. Mm-hmm. They're two Christian men.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I think I know why you're saying that. Why don't you go ahead and share it with me, though, before see if I'm thinking correctly. He said, well, because you know that your time is short. You know that you need to focus on what's real.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't need to be caught up in this world and tangled with the politics and with your lifestyle and what you're going to eat and what you're going to, you know, where you live.
Mm-hmm.
No, you realize that there is one thing that's important, and that's eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And that others need to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you are absolutely right. I retired. I love my job. I retired, you know, from the Electric Cooperative, Eastern Illinois Electric Cooperative. I love that job.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized I couldn't keep doing that and some of the other things I'm involved with and focus on what was important to me, you know, for me, with having, quote unquote, a short time, not knowing exactly how long that is.
Mm-hmm.
So John Piper, I read a book of his. Oh, man, he's tough. But one of the books he wrote was Don't Waste Your Life.
Mm.
It's only 189 pages. It took me 2.5 years to get through it. I would read.
But you did.
I would read something, and I'm going, oh, Lord.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I would have to repent. Well, he wrote another, this wasn't a book, but it was, essay or whatever. Maybe it was a sermon. Don't Waste Your Cancer. And he was right on. I mean, but he really, you know, same guy that said, you know, this one verse is three sermons.
Right.
Okay. And so I don't, you know, but anyway, long story short. So, you know, but the thing about the gospel, when we think about the gospel, we need to be thinking about it as being good news, right? And it says here that it's the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Well, the Gideons, one of their foundational verses is Isaiah 55:11. So shall thy word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish what I please and prosper wherein the thing that I send it. And we stand on that. That's why we hand out the little personal worker testaments to individuals. That's why we hand out the scriptures. On the University of Illinois campus, I'm a Gideon, and I was on the University of Illinois campus with many other Gideons.
Mm-hmm.
And we're standing on the public sidewalks, and we're passing out the scriptures. So one of my favorite things is saying is, have you received your good news yet? Okay, and everybody goes by. And would you like some good news? You know what the normal response of students are? No.
Oh, okay.
No. Okay. I mean, it's just, they don't, I mean, I don't know if they already know what we're really trying to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen them do everything. I think they know because it's right down there. We have these little boxes.
Probably.
And it says Bibles, but yeah. Gideon's and all that, and we're handing these.
And you have that Shekinah glory about you.
Oh, yeah. Right. So, you know, and we're dressed in suits and a tie, so we stand out.
Yeah.
So I've tried standing on the edge of the sidewalk, or they go on the other side of the sidewalk. I'd go to the other side of the sidewalk. They go to the other side of the sidewalk.
Oh, gee.
Some of them get in the grass. They don't even want to be on the sidewalk. So I stand in the middle of the sidewalk. I mean, you know, trying to get them. There's avoidance there.
Right,
well,
right.
Unfortunately, they don't understand what the good news is.
Right.
Well, one day, I was standing there and was right next to one. And I'm always in the engineering area when I do this. Anyhow, a professor walked by. I knew he was a professor. He had his satchel, dressed like a professor. Not like one of the students. And he walked right into that building. And I said, as he went by, I said, "Sir, have you got your good news yet?" And he just sort of scowled at me and walked on. 45 minutes later, or whatever, class period time's over, okay, he comes back out. I said, "Sir, have you got your good news yet?" He walked past me, maybe 10 steps, turned around, crossed his arms, come stomping back at me and said, "Who are you guys? What are you doing here? Who gave you permission?" Okay, and so I shared with him. I said, "Well, we are part of the Gideon ministry. We distribute God's word, the good news." Okay, I said, "It's really good news." And he, no other religion does that. I said, "Well, I'm sorry, but we can't help it, sir. We just have to do it."
Yeah.
You know, and I looked at him. I said, "Sir, have you ever had any good news in your life?"
Hmm.
He said, "Well, of course I did." I said, "Did you keep it to yourself? Was it good news that changed your life?"
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. Now, here's what's amazing about this. I don't prepare some of these things. It comes out of my mouth.
Yeah.
It's a God thing. I said that. You know, Bob didn't say that. The Spirit used me to say that, right? God said that. And he said, "Well, of course I shared it." I said, "Sir, we were lost in our sins, in trespass sin, and we were going to hell. Okay? We received the good news. We can't help but share it.
Hmm.
That's why we're here." And he looked at me, and he sort of put a smile on his face, sort of. I mean, he wasn't a scowl anymore. He said, "I understand," and he walked off. He didn't take one.
Yeah.
Okay. The very next year, I'm standing at the exact location. Exact location. Guess who walks by?
Oh, my.
And he smiled at me.
Oh.
He literally smiled at me. But that's what the good news is all about. And he got that. I was able to relate to him in some way that I planted a seed.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that someone else continues to water it, you know, like Paul talks about.
Well, and I'm reminded, and I'm sure listeners are probably, this is resonating with them, if in fact we truly believe we have that good news message and we're convinced that, you know, our sins are cleansed, that we have an eternity set before us because of what Jesus did, that God loves us, that we really embrace that, we take that in. How can we not want to share that and convey that to others? And like we're compelled. Paul was compelled.
Yeah.
And so,
absolutely.
I mean, hopefully all of us, maybe our consciences are being stricken or, you know, just reminded, you know what, I do believe that. Jesus did die for my sins. I need to start sharing that more.
Okay. Shall I read what Robert Morgan had? Or?
Sure. I kind of want to keep hearing from Bob, but knowing that we're going to have him back for Testimony Tuesday and more tomorrow, I think we can fit in the reading for our listeners, and then we can come back to some of the thoughts and stories Bob will share.
Because, Bob, you have always, every time I've spoken to you, you have been inspiring to me. So thank you. All right. We'll read this, and we'll talk more with Bob. This is from Robert J. Morgan's book. "There's not another preacher in Christian history like George Whitefield, who could stand on a tombstone and preach for an hour, keeping vast crowds mesmerized with his wind-borne voice, which could sometimes be heard a mile away. On one occasion, however, he was almost daunted. He had been invited to preach at a Whitsuntide fair in Marylebone Fields. Whitefield and his wife arrived after dark, finding a confusing scene of fighting and frivolity. Boxing booths were featuring bare-fisted fights, surrounded by gambling booths and gin sellers. When George, only 27 at the time, climbed into a makeshift pulpit and began preaching, the crowd turned on him. Boxers left their rings, not bothering to put on their shirts or conceal their fists. He paused mid-sentence, fearing a riot. Feeling a tug on his garment, he looked down at his wife, who said plainly, 'George, play the man for God.' With a surge of courage and compassion, he called out across the fairground, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Throwing his hands into the air with an expansive gesture, he was alarmed to feel the platform wobble beneath him. Rocks and eggs flew toward him, and one rogue tried to stab him with a sword. Still he preached from Romans 1:16 until souls were saved and a foothold for Christ was carved out in the region. As you read the prologue of Romans, which presents the theme and thesis of the book, notice Paul's three I statements in verses 14 through 16. They provide a powerful outline about witnessing. 1. I'm obligated. Verse 14. Once we've met Jesus as Savior, we have an obligation to tell someone else what we've discovered. 2. I'm eager. Verse 15. We don't just share our message out of obligation, but out of excitement. We can't wait to share the good news. 3. I'm unashamed. Verse 16. We aren't going to be intimidated by a hostile world or shamed into silence. We're the community of the unashamed. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. And here's a quote by Hyman Appleman. The gospel will save the lost. Nothing else can do it. Nothing else is doing it. Nothing else has done it. Nothing else shall do it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel convicts of sin. The gospel converts the soul. It's by the foolishness of preaching the gospel that men, women, and children are brought out of darkness into light, out of damnation into salvation, out of death into life, out of hell into heaven. Hyman Appleman.
Romans 1:16. And Bob, I'm glad you're committing to returning for Testimony Tuesday, because there's so much more we can say about Romans 1:16 and some of your faith journey and the unique ways that God is using you. And when they said, George, play the man for God, I'm thinking,
yeah.
Bob, you are playing the man for God.
But let's not go that far, okay?
I mean,
he changed the lives of millions of people.
Well, this Hyman Appleman is one. He's a Southern Baptist evangelist, but he was born in Belarus, Russia, of Orthodox Jewish parents.
Isn't that something? Yeah, yeah. You know, so, I mean, the Lord is not looking at numbers, but He's looking at faithfulness, right?
Right.
So whoever he gives me responsibility for, or I should say who I'm responsible for, I need to be doing it.
That's a good way
No matter how many talents or he's given me or whatever. So I'm just going to do what he says to do.
And we'll talk more about it tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marion Simpkins, and Bob Dickey with Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.